And I'm going to call up my fellow partner in crime, co-chair of this consultation, John Chung.
For many of us, we are familiar with Lausanne and know what it has been about as a movement. But I know tonight, and I'm very excited tonight, because there are a lot of us here in the room who this is the first time you've been invited to encounter and become a part of a Lausanne consultation. The movement was spearheaded by two luminaries many years ago, Billy Graham and John Stott, when the first Congress was gathered together in 1974 in Lausanne, Switzerland. And they had gathered to look together at the issue of world evangelization and what needed to be done. In his opening address, Reverend Graham stated, "The evangelistic cutting edge of the Church of Jesus Christ worldwide is here to seek how we can work together to fulfill the Christ's last commission as quickly and thoroughly as possible. Therefore, I have come to Lausanne with great hope, even as you have." He went on to state that as one of the reasons for convening the Congress, we must reaffirm at this Congress the necessity of evangelism. Obviously, since 1974, some things have changed. I think in 1974, the greatest threat to the Christian church was the Soviet Communist Empire. Obviously, many things have changed in those decades since. Out of that Congress came out perhaps two great contributions to the church. The first was a clear definition of evangelical belief in what is familiar to many of us called the Lausanne Covenant. It was penned by John Stott primarily, and it covered the wide range of what evangelicals believed and what our values were. The second thing I think that came out of that Congress was a clarion call to the church that we are not done with the world, with the work of world missions and evangelism, as the church was discovering that although there were churches in every nation state, there were thousands of unreached people groups who had yet to be reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That Congress was preceded by the second Congress in 1989 in Manila, which emphasized the need for global partnerships and modeled that with many of the leaders that led the Congress coming out of Asia and Africa. And then in 2010, a couple years ago, the third Cape Town Congress met, and that's the reason that we are here together this week. From the beginning, those who convened the original Congress realized that this movement would be short-lived, and it would be without the energy and the leadership and the contribution of younger leaders. You know, they, right from the beginning, intended to bring together younger leaders. And in 1987, brought together, actually, the first younger leaders gathering. It was a global gathering in Singapore. And it brought together green young leaders, such as John Piper, Ravi Zacharias, Paul Borthwick, Susan Perlman, who's with us this week, and our current chair of the Lausanne Movement, Doug Birdsall. There's always been a place for younger leaders in our Lausanne Movement. Yet I want to take just a moment right now to introduce some folks who have been senior leaders. At one point, they were young, and they are truly young at heart for hanging out with us this week. We've invited in some of our senior leaders in different areas of ministry within Lausanne and within North America to come and join us, to join our working groups, to be resource people to us, to be mentors to us, to remind us that, you know, I don't know about you, but every week I have somebody new coming into my office who wants to start a new nonprofit for something. And I want to tell them, you know, start something for profit, please. But we like to start our own things. But we are part of a continuum, part of the church body that's been there and will be there long after this consultation is done. And so I want to ask these leaders who have come in as our mentors, and we think we are busy, and we think that we are, you know, stretched in the time that we have, these leaders, they are giving up a lot to be here with us. And so would you stand and just be recognized? Our senior special guest, would you stand up? Get to know them. Take advantage of them, because they are an amazing resource. Many of them have been in my life and continue to be in my life. Out of the Cape Town Congress was a call to each region of the world to host a consultation for younger leaders. And so there's these gatherings taking place in the Middle East and in Asia and Africa and Latin America and Europe. And so we are part of a group of many younger leaders who are gathering to look at this question of evangelism for our generation. I'm here this week because my heart was captured for the scope of what God has called us to do as a young pastor. It was while I was leading my first short-term mission trip to Africa, we had been supporting a missionary there who continued to invite us to come and visit. And I finally said to him, I thought this would get him off my back. You know, if we'll come, if number one, we don't have to build anything. Number two, you know, I got nothing against this, but I don't want to do any VBS. And then the third thing, I had been taking the perspectives class. I said, we'll come if we get to work with unreached peoples. And he said, done, just come. And so we arrived there, and the first day we got there, he put us on a truck, and we drove to the middle of nowhere for a whole day. The second day, he put us on helicopters and took us even further out to nowhere. And I remember remarking to him, hey, you realize we're only here 2 weeks, and you have us doing all of this traveling. And he remarked back to me, you said you wanted to work with unreached. There are reasons that they're unreached. They're hard to get to. I kept my mouth shut after that. The helicopter pilot dropped us in this area in Tanzania called Esere, and he told us we'll pick you up in a week. You know, we were a good American short-term missions team and had a nice little Honda generator, a video projector, a laptop, and a big white sheet. And what more do you need to do missions? It was amongst the Maasai people there who do have a strong church, but they are so nomadic and spread out that there are pockets which are completely unreached. We met with the leaders and told them we had some religious videos. And so that night was movie night in Esere. And on tap for that night was the Jesus film. It's a remarkable translation into so many different languages. And it was so much fun watching them. Most of them hadn't seen a movie ever or hadn't seen it in a long time. Watching them watch this movie and my friend who is Maasai, who was translating, he was translating some of the comments that they were making. And they're going, man, for these white people, they speak Maasai so well. The beauty of technology. And it was just fun watching them see the gospel story for the very first time. It was at the end of that I had the privilege of giving an altar call. And I told them this was a real person, Jesus, God's son, and invited them to follow after Jesus. And to my surprise, the whole community had gathered from miles around. And there was a little over 100 people there. They all wanted to accept Christ. I was shocked. I had them put their hands down. And, you know, I'd been talking to them about grace. And now I talked to them about the law of how things would have to change if they accepted Christ. And then invited them again. And they still wanted to accept Christ. It was the most amazing week of ministry in my life. We were camped out there, and all week long, we had groups of men, women, youth just come by, and we would share with them Bible story after Bible story after Bible story. And when that week ended and the helicopter came to pick us up, there were over 120 new believers in SRA. That was the size of my church in Boston, Massachusetts at that time. We begged our Maasai brother to come and stay there and to minister to them at least until they could raise up some leaders. He was starting grad school and he said he couldn't. We asked our Tanzanian brother Daniel if he would stay, and he honestly said, you've seen how hard this place is. There's no way my wife and children would survive out here. And we Americans, we all made excuse one by one. I had a church to get back to, school to get back to, jobs to get back to. And so for the first time in my life, evangelism became so clear to me. Jesus calls us to disciple the nations. Evangelization is not done with simply a clear presentation of the gospel and acceptance of this good news. But we need discipleship in every realm. We need leadership development, theological education. We need the rooting out of injustices. And we need the mobilization of new workers amongst new believers. In essence, we need the church planted in every place where there is no church. Since then, I've always been haunted by this question of priorities in my life. Is the pastoring and discipling of North Americans a higher priority than the pastoring and discipleship of new African believers? I pray that I would never stop asking that haunting question in my own life. Because we live in a world in which the majority of the world's Muslims, Hindus, and Buddhists, 86% of the world's Hindus, Muslims, and Buddhists, have never met a true follower of Jesus Christ. My friend who works in Yemen was asked to speak and be here with us this week, but due to health reasons, he had to cancel. But he asked me to share about the plight of Yemen and the neediness of the gospel in the Middle East. In the country of Yemen, with 20 million people, there are less than 500 known believers. Earlier this spring, their fellow missionary in Yemen, a younger leader by the name of Joel Schramm, who was only 28 years old, he was a teacher. He was shot dead in his car driving home after work. Those who murdered him released a message that Joel was a senior and expert proselytizer. He left behind his wife Janelle and his two children. And when Janelle was asked whether it was worth it, she responded, "Of course it was, because we were doing what God had called us to do." I pray that as a result of our little consultation here this week, that many, many, many more Joels and Janelles would be raised up within our churches, within our ministries and organizations, and maybe even within our midst. May the Holy Spirit work in us and through us this week.